Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Escaping Moral Adventure. It's been a hot minute since we've been here, but here we are to talk about none other
than dun-dun-dun.
Halloween.
Yeah, so this is a special episode. We're going to talk specifically about Halloween. And if you're listening to this podcast when it comes out, Halloween's just a few weeks out. But why are we talking about Halloween?
Yeah, good question. Well, you know, Mark, you and I are believers in and followers of Jesus Christ. And I think probably the majority of people who listen to this are as well. And so I know for you and I personally, it's been a challenge to decide what to do with Halloween. How do we celebrate it in a God-glorifying way, or is it okay to celebrate?
Yeah, if we were in a relationship with Halloween, you would say it's complicated.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
And we've struggled with it because we don't know how to act on Halloween, to say the least. And it shows up because we're often not prepared for Halloween, whether, you know, what we're doing, what we're not doing.
Well, and last year, I think, was the first year that our kiddos even asked to trick or treat, and we ended up not able to go out trick or treating, and so they just trick or treated at the doors at our own house, and they went to each door and we gave them candy. That's just the situation we were in last year. But this year we wanted to be better prepared, and so we have done quite a bit of research on Halloween and different things related to Halloween and what that might look like for a believer.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've had, I mean, our kids have dressed up, they've done small little things related to Halloween before. I think we've done, like, our church does trunk fest type activities, so we've done those, but we're never we haven't been settled. Like, we don't, like, I think we're not sure exactly what to do. So I thought it was a great time to just clarify our position on this. So let's do it.
Here we go. And hopefully it'll be helpful to other people in a similar situation, unsure what to do with Halloween. So when I started looking into it, I wanted to know, what is Halloween? I've heard different things. I don't really know what it is. So I started searching. And what I found is that the history of Halloween, it's actually not quite certain, but it seems that many people believe that the tradition began in ancient Britain and Ireland when they had the festival of Samhain, and it's spelled Samhain. But I looked up how to say it, and that's what I found. And so anyway, this festival marked the end of one year and the beginning of another year, and it actually started, I think, like the winter or half of the year, they said, basically the darker half of the year. And so they believe that during this festival, the souls of those who had died in that year would come back to visit, and they would, the people would light bonfires to scare away evil spirits and also wear costumes to try to keep the ghosts away that they believed might be coming, and they didn't want the ghosts to recognize them. So that's why they wore costumes. So that's kind of where you get the costume thing, I guess.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the things there are relevant for how we think about Halloween today, right? Yeah. The dressing up, right. The evil spirits, yeah. Ghosts,
bonfires.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that makes sense. Even though there is some disagreement, I would say, over how Halloween originated, this is definitely, would you say it's the leading position?
Yeah, that's what I found. And the other thing I found is that there's pretty much no disagreement or debate about it being a pagan, like having pagan roots.
Okay, so that's the origination of Halloween, or it seems like it's likely the original starting point of Halloween.
Right. And so kind of what I think we want to get into the rest of this episode is it sinful for Christians, for believers in and followers of Jesus Christ to participate in Halloween? And before we dive too far into that, I do want to give a caveat, because as I was looking things up for this, my eyes were like crossing. I mean, there was so much information. I was just looking up all sorts of things, and then that would take me down a rabbit trail over here and then over there. And so we're just going to cover some of the things that we found. But hopefully what we do cover today is helpful for you, just like it was for us. And my hope is that we also have some tools now that we can use and that those listening can use to determine what activities or events are okay or not okay to participate in. So is it sinful for Christians to participate in Halloween? And as you may have already gathered from what we've said so far, the short answer is it depends. And that's our answer. You may find other Christians who say that it is sinful. And I'll kind of touch on that a little bit later.
Unfortunately for us, there is no thou shall not celebrate Halloween in the Bible. So like many things that we encounter in our modern world, we can use scripture, though, to guide us, which is exactly what we try to do here today.
Yeah. So as we're going through these different activities related to Halloween, let's keep in mind a few things. So the first is a scripture from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, and this is the Amplified Version. Abstain from every form of evil, withdraw and keep away from it. So my thought here is, like, when we're, you know, evaluating things, is this evil or associated with evil, whatever activity? And then another scripture, Philippians 4:8, also from the Amplified Version. Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. So all those things there can be turned into a question as you evaluate activities associated with Halloween. Another scripture that I absolutely love comes from 2 Corinthians 5:20, and the first part says, we are Christ's ambassadors. So would participating in this make Jesus look good? We can ask ourselves that. Okay, next question. Would it help or hinder my witness for Christ? If Jesus were with me, would I participate in this? And then this one's sort of similar to making Jesus look good. Will this honor the Lord and support my reputation as his follower? So those are some things we're going to keep in mind kind of as we go through all of this.
Okay, so avoid evil. Look for things that are good, honorable, worthy, pure. Mm-hmm. Are we making Jesus look good? Because, you know, we may be the best Christian someone knows, and mm-hmm. What are we doing by, let's say, if we're celebrating, what are we doing when we're celebrating? And does that make Jesus look good, or does it make him look questionable because we are his followers? Okay, these are things to keep in mind as we move along then. Okay.
Right.
Good.
So let's just go through some different Halloween stuff.
Okay.
And use our thinking caps and figure out what to do with it.
All right. I like that because now we're getting into specifics. That was all sort of general. Now, what about things we might get invited to do or participate in? Well, the first thing that comes to mind for me for Halloween, haunted houses. What do you think?
Well, I don't like them. For reasons other than just related to Halloween. Okay. So, in doing research on this, I found... You could basically, and when I think about haunted houses, you could basically categorize them into two different categories. One would be like the haunted house you go to that's just fun. So yeah, there's scary things in it, but it's just trickery. You know, people are just dressed up or things are hanging from wires, you know, and when the lights come on and everyone removes their masks, it's just people. That kind of haunted house. And actually, when I was younger, our dad created a haunted house in our upstairs with black plastic. He stapled it to the ceiling. And then I got to have all my classmates over, and then all my older cousins were the ones who dressed up and, you know, tried to trick us and scare us as we walked through the haunted house. It was so fun. And it was just, you know, trickery. Hmm. It wasn't the other kind of haunted house.
Well, then what would you call the other kind?
So the other kind is that, you know, the one that would claim to have real ghosts, if you will, I'm going to say real in quotes, or like some sort of paranormal activity that's eerie or just, you know, creepy like that. You know, so typically what comes to my mind is old abandoned homes, you know, that have some history and there's tours of when Halloween comes around. Hmm. A couple things to note here. So one, I would say that even for the fun haunted houses, so this is based off of what I'm about to say is based off of Romans 14, 22 through 23. Even if the fun haunted houses, if you're feeling convicted that you should not participate in that and you do not have a clear conscience going to one, then you shouldn't do that. Scripture tells us if we're convicted to not do something and then we go against that, then that is a sin. So that goes for all of the things we're going to talk about as well. And back when I said, like, for us, is it sinful to participate in Halloween? I said, it depends. Well, for another person, they might not have a clear conscience participating in Halloween at all. And if that's the case, then don't ignore your conviction.
Yeah. Yeah. And also don't judge someone else based on their convictions at that time, right? About whether or not they would participate. And I think what you're showing here is we can find those lines where, as Christians, I actually do think we should avoid. It's pretty clear cut in Scripture. And even your fun haunted house example, I could see it being, you know, who's running the thing? What are their intentions? Like, you knew your dad and what was mm-hmm. happening there. Like, it's pretty clear. If you're going to someone that you don't even know what it is or you're unsure about their intent, mm-hmm. yeah, that kind of can start going down a path. So there's some emphasis here probably on the haunted part of haunted house, because mm-hmm. if it's really that's the intent, then you should avoid it. Mm-hmm. Your point about, hey, it's more of a fun, mm-hmm. it's more of a fun house than it is a haunted house, you know, I like that thinking. What's the intent? Who's running it? Who's organizing it? Do you know them? Can you trust them? Okay, that can get you probably pretty clear about where that line is.
And if we look to Scripture for specifically the second kind of haunted houses, you know, with like paranormal activity kind of stuff. If we look at Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 14, it says, "When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, be very careful not to imitate the detestable customs of the nations living there. For example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offering, and do not let your people practice fortune telling or use sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft or cast spells or function as mediums or psychics or call forth the spirits of the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord." So we see here a lot of things, but clearly we're not to call forth spirits of the dead. And in these haunted houses that claim to have some sort of paranormal activity going on, you know, we have to think about that, right?
Like, yeah.
We're supposed to stay away from that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I know this might sound odd a little bit when you read it the first time, because like, really, this is all just fake, it's pretend. But you see in Scripture, right? We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but of powers and principalities of an unseen world. So it's pretty strong guidance when you start reading Scripture a little bit more, that there is something else going on, and you shouldn't engage in that.
Well, and you know, there's only two sources of supernatural power. One is God, and the other is Satan. And if we know God's character,
yeah.
And we know Satan's character, right? God is pure and holy and good, and Satan is the father of lies, right?
Right.
And here to destroy and deceive and, I mean, demolish, right? We have to think about, okay, if we're going to this haunted house that's claiming to have spirits in it that are scary and eerie and, you know, whatever, is that really going to be from the Lord?
Right.
And the answer is no.
And in fact, he specifically says, don't do that. don't engage in it even.
Well, yeah. And so while we're talking about haunted houses, let's also talk about ghosts. Okay, so specifically, do they exist? Because this is actually, you know, I've had this question and I'm always like, they're fake. They don't exist. But
it does. Dun 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 dun. Who are you going to call? That's what as soon as you start talking about ghosts, I'm like, okay, Ghostbusters.
That's funny. Okay, so as I was looking this up, the answer is it depends. Because if by ghost, if you are referring to the spirit of someone who has died, then based on what we find in scripture, no, there are no ghosts. We don't turn into ghosts. So that cannot be. But if by ghost we're referring to like a spirit being, then yes, you can say there are ghosts because that's different. Spirit beings can either be angels or demons. So they're not people who have died. Now, angels, those spirit beings, they are righteous, they're holy, they're good, and not something a haunted house would, you know, have in my mind, right? They don't haunt you.
No.
And they're messengers of God, okay, angels. But demons are fallen angels. So Satan, right, is one of them. And demons, they're evil. And like I said before, they seek to destroy. And then we see in 2 Corinthians 11, 14 through 15, it talks about just how deceitful they are. Satan masquerades himself as an angel of light, and his servants, so other demons, disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. So as I was looking into this, it was the Got Questions article I was looking at, they were saying, you know, it seems within the realm of possibility that a demon could deceive you, right, and appear to be the ghost of someone who had died. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
So backtracking, when you say, hey, there's no way someone that died then is going to come back and haunt us as a ghost, it's sort of true. And it's also sort of like, whoa, but these demons could impersonate. So it's, you could very well have that. They may know, like, this is a stretch for me because I'm so logically brained, you know, and it's hard for me to think about ghosts in this. Mm-hmm. And of course there's all kinds of ghost hunter shows and TV shows. I know people are super into it, but to your point, if you read scripture, it seems plausible that you could have that happen. They may know things about these people from your life. And if you try to really get in tune with them, which is what you see with people that are searching, when they try to get really in tune, they really get into it. They try to go into those rooms and use the voice detectors and hear something from them. Like, seems plausible to your point. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and even like fortune telling, yep, and Ouija boards, that all kind of goes in line with this. And I mean, this is not something to mess with. Like, who wants to be interacting with demons or even just inviting them in?
And there are, ugh, some people that want to, but, well, not a good thing to do.
No, don't. Okay, can we move on to something less dark?
Yes. How about costumes then?
Okay.
Which also can be dark if you want them to.
They can. So, again, keeping in mind all of those things we said, those scriptures, right? Stay away from every kind of evil. Fix your eyes on things that are good, that are worthy, that are excellent. Am I making Jesus look good? All of those kinds of questions. I think you need to think about your costumes while asking. Choose your costumes while asking these questions. In my mind, any costume that is related to evil or ghosts or witches, because we're talks about witchcraft and spells in the Bible and how we're supposed to stay away from that stuff, or the dead, anything that's like celebrating death, because we know death is not to be celebrated. We were just talking about that in our women's Bible study this morning, that, you know, death entered the world when sin entered the world. And so death in and of itself is not good. Now, what comes after is very good if we're in Christ, and that's something that should be celebrated. But actually, death itself is not good.
Sort of a reminder of the sin that entered the world. Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with what Paul said around to live as Christ, to die as gain, meaning, to your point, that eternal life through Christ after death. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the sort of death in and of itself. Okay.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, any costume that that is something the Bible prohibits, like if you're dressing up as a fortune teller, or I would say a witch, because witchcraft is, the Bible says, you know, stay away from it, or the devil. Did I say that already?
No.
Okay. Yeah, or anything like dead. You know, I'm thinking just grotesque. But if you're dressing up in maybe like your favorite princess, some princesses I may question.
For different reasons,
you know, or maybe your favorite superhero, or a lion, you know, some fun animal or something, or
a flower, which is what we dressed our daughter up as one year. Turns out, probably okay.
Yes.
That was the worst costume ever.
I don't know why I think that's so funny, but it was terrible. You know, but again, right, keeping in mind that scripture from Romans that you gotta go with your convictions as well. You know, so read scripture and also go with how the Holy Spirit is convicting you.
Yeah, I think different people might find their lines in different places on this one. To your point, I think this idea of, you know, be in prayer, as we should be in prayer about everything, mm-hmm. and find out where those convictions are. I would imagine some people would say, oh, there are fun witches, like, and you could do that. And then there's like the really sort of scary, eerie ones where maybe not. But for us, mm-hmm. it's probably more like, eh, let's just stay away from witches in mm-hmm. general, since witchcraft is specifically called out in the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's dressing up in costumes. What about?
No,
go ahead.
Trick or treating is what I was going to say next. What about trick or treating?
Yeah. I think this kind of goes along with the last one, probably not a big surprise. Sometimes when you see, look around your neighborhood, there's some houses that are decorated in some very interesting ways. And they're full of the things that you said to avoid. Skeletons coming out of the ground, or scary like things going on,
yeah.
Ghosts hanging from the trees. Music playing dark outside, somebody standing on the porch, all kinds of strange lighting. And if you don't, you know, probably like, let me just go to the next house.
Mm-hmm.
Or better yet, how about you go to the people's houses that you know, that you love, that you understand where they're coming from, they understand where you're coming from, and you can just, yeah, still get the great experience, but without, yeah, trying to walk some tightrope on. I'm not sure here. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is that how you think about it too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I do. I don't have anything to add. All right. Decorating for Halloween. I think this might be the last one we talk about, because the same principles apply for all of these things for the most part, I would say. But decorating for Halloween, you know, again, we're going to choose decorations based on what scripture tells us. What does scripture tell us to focus on and to stay away from? And that's how we're going to pick our decorations. We're going to choose things that are honorable, lovely, not demonic or related to anything evil or, you know, eerie or just not pleasant. So like graveyards, ghosts, skeletons, blood. Personally, we're going to stay away from that stuff based on what we find in scripture. And as I mentioned before, you know, because death is not something to be celebrated like that.
Okay, so those hit the big ones, I think. Is there any that we missed that we should talk about that you can think of?
Well, I'm sure there's something else, but maybe like events that you're invited to.
Yeah, probably a little bit similar there.
Mm-hmm. You know, and
you can use the same principles, I think.
Right, I agree. I think these scriptures are very transferable, and the questions that you can kind of make related to these scriptures so that you can just discern whether or not it's something you should do, participate in, whatever it may be. And I think the other important piece to keep in mind here is to not judge your fellow brother or sister in Christ about the activities that they're choosing to participate in or not participate in related to Halloween or related to, you know, anything. But,
and also we have a whole podcast plug for on judging. Mm-hmm. So maybe we link to that here. The other thing I was going to say is also don't judge those neighbors who may not be believers yet, because your job is to be a light for Christ for them, and you're trying to be a witness. And yeah, you may not be able to or want to, or you may not participate in activities if you think they are across that line, kind of as we laid out here in these principles. But that doesn't mean you got to be in their face about it, like, oh, you shouldn't be putting a ghost out in your tree and make it a big deal between you and your neighbor, and they don't even know yet that you're a Christian or that you're mm-hmm. loving on them or trying to bring them along to Christ. So mm-hmm. just another call out there.
That makes me think of that scripture, remove the plank in your own eye yeah. before removing the speck in someone else's. Yeah. Okay. What else you got?
I maybe have one more question that might be useful here, and I think there's a couple ways to answer it, but what about the question in general, which I've heard, by the way, which is, since Halloween's origins are unknown or likely to be pagan, sort of non-Christian certainly, would, and associated with spirits, maybe evil spirits, but it seems like more spirits more in general is what it seems like, then why shouldn't we just not participate at all mm. in Halloween? What about that question, I guess, is mm-hmm. what are your thoughts?
I would say there may be weight to that. And again, you need to go with your convictions. But me personally, I feel like this is just another way to love people mm. and be a light for Christ. Because, you know, as believers, we're in the world and not of the world. So that could mean that you don't participate in Halloween, right? You're in a world that is participating in Halloween, you're choosing not to. But it could also mean that you participate in Halloween differently than the world yeah. does. And so maybe when you give out treat bags, you have scripture cards in there. You have a note or something talking about how much Jesus loves them, you know, and you give out fun things, not, you know, skeletons and ghosts and stuff like that. And maybe when you are taking your kids trick-or-treating, your kids are giving a little gift to the person giving them candy, or, you know, like a scripture card to them, or saying Jesus loves you to them or something like that. And yeah, just being a light for Christ in that way.
Yeah, it reminds me of a scripture in the New Testament from Paul, which is in 1 Corinthians 9. Starting in verse 19, here's what it says. I'm going to read it. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. And that is just powerful. I think it sums up what we're trying to get at here, which could mean here, using these principles to not participate in any of the clearly sinful practices in Halloween, but not being so dogmatic about it that we miss an opportunity to engage with the community mm-hmm. that needs to know Christ. Mm-hmm. And so check your heart when you're doing this. Get right with God. Get in alignment with God. Check your convictions about what he tells you is good or not good
pray.
To do.
Make prayerful decisions.
Pray.
Yeah.
And then when you do participate, find those ways that you can be a light. Yeah. So like Paul says, so that I may win some. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great way to close, is with Paul's scripture about Halloween in general. So hopefully this was a good practical way to navigate through Halloween, and hopefully it was helpful for you. I know, honestly, it's been helpful for us yeah. to think about.
Well, thank you again for listening. If you found any of this helpful, would you please tell people, share this on social media, like our podcast, subscribe to it, all that good stuff. We'd appreciate it.